Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. Faisal, we're going to be joined by Laura Tamblyn, who Laura Tamblyn Watts, excuse me. She's the CEO of CanAge. Now, Deloitte came out with a report recently that talked about 14% of Canadian retirees may not be able to expect a comfortable retirement lifestyle that they wanted.
And it's what's interesting about the report, and if we go through all the Canadians that we speak to throughout an average year, the concern that I have is not for the people who make a certain amount of income where most of their income is replaced with Canadian pension plan, old age security, and government income supplement, right, or GIS. I'm not as concerned because that's pretty close to that lifestyle that they were leading as they were going through their career.
Correct.
When you start going up the income level, when you start making six figures plus, when you start saving money or you're maximizing your RSPs, if you do maximize your RSPs,
right,
the risk becomes that you cannot maintain the lifestyle that you were living while you were working in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to have more understanding about what is going on there so we can explain that to our listeners and viewers. And that's why we've got Laura Tamblyn Watts, CEO of CanAge. Laura, makes sense for all of the stuff that we just talked about. The demographic who's making more income that cannot be covered by CPP, old age security. They won't qualify most likely for GIS, but if you're at that level and you're not able to reach your lifestyle goals, what's happening there?
What we're seeing is the accumulation of about the last 20 years now kind of come into a pinch point. So with interest rates being so low, people didn't make a lot of money, but it was really cheap to get debt. So what we saw is people were using debt because it essentially had almost a 0% interest rate for many years. And what has happened is we've got the most indebted generation we've ever had. So when we think about older people, it's important to remember we need to parse those out. So the silent generation and the greatest generation, those were the savers, very little debt. Remember, it was hard to get debt back then as well. So they kept their money. And that's often what we think about as older people. But actually, when we're thinking about boomers who are turning 85 by 2030, and for the Gen Xers like myself who start turning 65 by 2030, that's not been the circumstance. Now we're having a sharp spike, interest rates going up and the consumer price index also being a real challenge. Folks who thought that they were doing well and being able to manage their debt very effectively all of a sudden can't afford it. And this is layered on with the reduction of private pensions. So we know that the CPP and the GIS is not going to keep anyone in a comfortable retirement, but we always design that three-legged stool, as we call it, with your own savings, which are now, we are hearing, under a real crunch. We're having the government, which is really just a support for most people. You're not really supposed to have to live on it. And this idea that you would have an employer to help you with your pensions. And that is just not the reality for most people.
The three-legged stool has now turned into a two-legged stool, so it has some instability there. Dave and I, prior to during the break, were talking about this, and we kind of had a banter going back and forth. I'd like to bring you in on this banter. Let's go the assumption of the generation prior. So they were on a defined benefit pension plan. They had fixed income. That's where the whole retirees are on fixed income has come from. Fast forward to this generation, the boomer generation, they're not on a fixed income because they've been able to save themselves for themselves because they've had minimal amount of exposure to the defined benefit pension plans from their employer. That's been reduced. Okay. What we find and what we had a nice banter on is that the average Canadian will still dip into their savings above and beyond what they're able to support themselves throughout their retirement because they want the stuff now and don't plan for it over time. This is the debate that we were having.
Yep.
So I asked Dave, and Dave, I want you to answer this so that people can hear this. If we took everybody's savings and put it into a guaranteed income product, an annuity, a defined pension plan, whatever you want to call it, and they received a fixed payment, I said, then the consumer behavior would shift. You said no. What do you think they would do?
Yeah, what I think that this generation, the baby boom generation, would do, given the fact that they've invented financing, right? We have accommodated the way we operate today is as a result of what their consumer behavior is. As you said, I want to pull forward the things I want today and I'll pay for them over time to tomorrow. I think that they would finance their homes in order to increase their life. And Laura, this is what you're talking about, right? Ultimately, they become the most indebted population. Or cohort, I guess, right?
It is exactly right. One of the pieces I think that's really, again, that crunch that we haven't seen before is that the boomers who remember well that 18, 19% rate on mortgage, remember you're making a lot of money on your savings, but of course, borrowing was very high, right? So there was that sense that things were going to earn. And then they reduced dramatically. So homeownership really increased. And that became the idea that you'd have your nest egg in your house, right? And you're able to get a bigger house because the interest rates are very low. You may be able to renovate and pull some money out of your house because interest rates are really low. Maybe you want to fund travel or have some other type of lifestyle well-being. You're able to pull that money out of your house because interest rates are really low. But what's happened is now interest rates are going up. The equity is reduced. And then people say, well, you know what? You are house rich and cash poor. Actually, no. You're actually not house rich anymore. What you have is an asset with a lot of equity pulled out that you cannot afford any longer. Well, sell the house and move into some type of downsizing, move into a different place. That is actually no longer easy because the age at which people are doing that now makes rental apartments often more expensive and quite inappropriate in terms of being age friendly. So you can't get a rental apartment for the price that you're getting your house at, and you don't get those tax breaks for things like property taxes and others if you're renting. Renting costs more than mortgaging. And mostly you're going to need to move out of your community to find something. That means you're going to lose your social relationships. Your faith community means you're going to not be able to see your neighbors and friends. That social isolation isn't just a financial challenge. It's a challenge for transportation and well-being. And it's so this idea that boomers can just sell their houses and move into something cheaper is just not real.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that we have in front of us. There's a solution to that, and we're going to talk about part of that solution. Laura, when you look at two pieces of advice you would give this demographic going through this type of problem, what are the two pieces of advice you'd give them?
Start thinking more creatively and really figure out what's important to you, right? Don't just assume that you have to have the house and you have to have the travel and you have to have an ability to support your children. Really sit down and try to map out what you care about. You may actually want to sell the house and move somewhere else anyway, as opposed to having to. It's a very different narrative, right? Figure out what the cost of care is going to be. So plan preventatively and be pleased otherwise. One slip and fall, you've all broken a bone or hurt a knee or twisted an ankle, okay? One broken bone, one hip that goes can fundamentally change your life. In fact, if you fall and break a hip, your chances of dying within 18 months is 40%, and your chances of disability if you survive is about 80%. So we have to do a bit of a reality check here. You may not be well. Let's think about what you need and what aging in place is going to mean, and then build your finance around that.
And that's a great segue of why we've built the four buckets, exactly. Asset dedication. It's not just about living today. It's about the concerns about tomorrow, like healthcare and so forth. That's why we have the four buckets. Laura, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Always a pleasure.
When you look at these four buckets and you look at what some of the concerns are and the behaviors of this demographic, you get an idea that you can't do it the old-fashioned way of just plunk all your money into a strategy of an investing, like buying stocks and bonds, and that's it. They have to have segmentation. We call it asset dedication or the four buckets. Having an income bucket, a growth bucket, having a healthcare bucket, having a legacy bucket, understanding the tax situation, because if you minimize tax, you have more money for yourself. Putting this all together is very complex because we've made it complex within our lifestyle.
Yep.
And we want to make sure that we reach all these goals as best as we can. And planning, like Laura said, is important. That's why we're going to talk about that at our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, January 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Country Hills Golf Club. You need to register for that. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
Markets are moving higher. Is it time to get greedy? Stick around after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.